Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Happy Monday. This is your host, Melissa Bilardi. We are recording live and podcasting all about help for Huntington's disease. The goal every week is to introduce incredible special guests to educate and inspire you. We now have over 5,900 listeners, so thank you for your support and interest in Help for HD programming. Our call-in numbers today are 310-982-4227 and 877-497-4103. That's the toll-free number. When you call in, press 1, and I'll cue you into the show. Please tell all your friends and family about the show and click follow on our show page to get email reminders of upcoming episodes. Our incredible special guest tonight is Stacy Brookhiser. She and her husband have designed their family to be HD-free with IVF-PGD. We're going to learn all about what that is. Stacy was diagnosed with HD and a CAG repeat of 42 when she was just newly married, but she is what I call a super-duper HD trooper. She is a mom on a mission to help people understand the procedure. Check out her website at www.hdfreewithpgd.com. She's going to tell us her story of her family's despair with HD, finding out that she is HD positive, and the promise for her children to be HD free and stop HD in their family line forever. That's incredible. So welcome to the program, Stacy. How are you tonight?
I'm terrific. Thanks so much for having me on your show today.
I'm so thrilled to have you on the show. I'm saying tonight because some of our listeners are back east and in the UK, and it's evening over there. But so how are you girls doing today?
They are terrific. They're just rambunctious, healthy little four-year-olds running around and having fun every day.
That's wonderful. And tell us about yourself and your background.
Okay, well, I grew up in California, a country girl, and in a very strong, loving family, and knew as a child that my grandmother had Huntington's, and I have a bachelor's in mathematics from UC Santa Barbara and a master's in business administration from Pepperdine. My husband Mitch is an LA County firefighter, and while I was previously a computer analyst, I'm now enjoying every moment as a stay-at-home mom to my precious little girls. Yeah, my mother right now is suffering from symptoms of Huntington's, and I tested gene positive about 6 years ago before having children. And my husband and I wanted to make that important that we were able to plan for that and protect our kids. And I'm currently non-symptomatic, and I hope to follow my family's history of late onset.
Boy, I sure hope so, too. And maybe by that time we'll have the cure. We know it's out there. We're just trying to get at it right now, right? So we're going to talk about a procedure called IVF-PGD. And do you know who developed this procedure?
I believe it was a Dr. Hughes, and doctors began using PGD in the 1980s, and they've been perfecting the procedure and making it available to many disorders since then. It doesn't only help Huntington's, it's also available for many, you know, single gene disorders and X-linked disorders, and so it's really exciting. I learned about it online when I was researching my options for testing for Huntington's and, you know, wanting to make sure that I didn't pass on to my future children at that point. And unfortunately, at that time, my local center of excellence didn't have much information about PGD. And that's why at this point I really want to share this information with as many people as I can. Because it's a great option that really should be considered for those who are at risk for Huntington's and considering having a family.
Right. One of the things I was going to ask you, it's off script, was the fact that this can be a process or procedure for other genetic or other disease type conditions, right?
Absolutely. And in fact, I've been in contact with people outside of the Huntington's community who have needed my help. One in particular where they had a child with DMD, I think it was Duchenne muscular dystrophy.
Oh, yeah.
And they wanted to try PGD, and so I helped them, you know, with they had tons of questions, and I helped them talk to their insurance and all of that, and they turned out, actually, they recently have had a baby that's healthy. And I've also heard of others who have been able to, they've been able to use PGD for the cancer gene.
There
are so many other reasons why PGD can be helpful to families.
Well, so what are the most important points to consider when you're planning PGD?
Well, I think that the most important thing to consider is your support, your family situation. It's very important through all of these sort of, you know, deciding whether to test, deciding whether to do PGD, planning it all. It's important that your spouse is really involved in the process because, you know, it's was so helpful to me that my husband and I worked together on it. That's very important. And also having family support is important. And then second to that would be finding an excellent doctor and an excellent lab. Doctors who are, well, they would be a fertility specialist. Some of them have done PGD before, and others may not have. And so it's important to go and ask, interview the doctor, and make sure that you find a great doctor who has their own in-house lab that also has excellent success rates. Okay. Another point to consider would be that PGD does not always work. Sometimes it's not successful. And so I think that before going into it, it's important to think that, to consider, okay, what's our plan if this doesn't work the first time? Can we do it another time? Can we try, you know, multiple times? It's important to consider that because, you know, I do know couples who haven't been successful, and then on their second try, they did get pregnant, and it was wonderful. But it's not always guaranteed, and so that's important to consider as well.
Kind of a typical fertility scenario then, isn't it, where you have to first produce the eggs and then fertilize them, right?
Yes.
We'll be talking about how all that happens. And but, you know, you're in the L.A. area, so you're probably in a location that has many or multiple physicians that might be able to do this procedure. What kind of advice would you give to someone who is maybe in a rural area or in a state where they don't have a lot of clinics or physicians that specialize in this? What would you suggest to them?
Well, I think a great way to find a good doctor is to ask friends and family who maybe have already experienced fertility issues. Maybe they haven't done PGD for, you know, the purposes that you know, you would, but maybe they had trouble getting pregnant and use their own fertility specialist. So that's always great if you can have a good referral. Other than that, another idea I think would be to, you know, call fertility specialists in maybe an urban environment, ask, do you know doctors in my area, or do you have a program where I can fly out to you and do the procedure and go back home? Like my doctor in Irvine, California, Dr. Warlin, he has plenty of patients who fly in, you know, stay for a week or two and do the procedure, and then they go home and, you know, they do the other testing at home. But they actually do travel for the procedure if that's, you know, if there are no other doctors in the area.
Now, did you receive counseling for PGD?
I did not for PGD specifically, but I did quite a bit of counseling when I was getting tested for Huntington's. I first worked at the Center of Excellence, and they helped me quite a bit. They provided quite a bit of counseling, actually, and help, and just answered all my questions. And I worked with a personal counselor as well in my area. But then when I was able to get through the testing process and feel like I was healthy enough mentally to kind of move on, and we began the PGD process, that was actually a wonderful time. We had so much hope, and it actually was a procedure that helped me mentally because I was just really excited about the possibility of having kids and having to be protected. So I don't think I necessarily needed counseling for the PDD part, but for the testing, mm-hmm. yes, that's definitely where I sort of came from, obviously.
And thank God for centers of excellence that can provide counseling for the testing part, right?
Absolutely. And I'd like to point out, too, that all the information I'm giving here, you know, is just my experience. I'm not
right.
a professional. And so I do want to point people in the direction of their center of excellence for
of
all of these types of decisions.
Yes, we're not doctors here. We're just
right.
two moms talking on the radio.
Exactly.
So let's talk about the procedure, PGD. Walk us through the process. How does it go? What does it look like?
Okay, well, it begins with, once you have found a great doctor, for me it began with having a consultation with a doctor, talking about what you need and what you'll experience, and, you know, making sure that that doctor has access to a great lab. Once that happens, then the doctor does screening for IVF, because, of course, PGD is a part of the in vitro fertilization IVF process. And so as part of that, the doctor does routine blood work and testing. They need to do a semen analysis. They have to be sure that there are no other fertility issues that may come in the way. And then we went along to PGD prep. They collected DNA samples from me and from my husband and also from my family members. And the PGD lab went ahead and analyzed the DNA and prepared a test that would be able to test each little cell for the markers that would identify it as being either healthy or Huntington's positive, or from that side of my family.
Do they take blood or skin, or what do they take for DNA?
From my husband and I, they took blood.
Okay.
From my family members, they took a cheek sample.
Ah.
So just,
wow.
you know, swab in the mouth. Yeah. Yeah, it was really, really great. And what they did was they saw markers that identified whether a cell was got the HT gene from my mother's side of the family, which would be the affected side, or my father's side of the family, which
wow.
would be the healthy. And so they can tell by looking at those markers that, you know, whether the cell from the embryo is healthy.
That's
so
incredible.
It sure is. And once that PGD lab is able to determine that and make that test, then they say to the doctor, okay, you can go ahead with the in vitro process, and we will wait for that, and then, you know, we're ready to test the embryo when you get there.
Uh-huh.
So then you begin the whole in vitro process. You're given drugs for to suppress the female system and then to stimulate and to try and grow additional eggs and as many eggs as you can. And then during the whole process, you know, you're shot with needles all the time, so you're very familiar with needles, unfortunately. But then once the eggs have grown and you have multiple eggs inside, the doctor retrieves them during egg retrieval. Sometimes you're given anesthesia, sometimes not. The doctor removes those eggs, and then in their lab, they inject one sperm into each mature egg to fertilize it, and hoping that little egg will fertilize and grow into an embryo.
Wow.
And so then at that point in the process, each embryo grows into a blastocyst, a group of stem cells, and one of those stem cells is removed and biopsied out and sent off back to that PGD lab that we talked about earlier. That one little cell is then compared to the markers in my family, and each cell is given a diagnosis. And they say, this cell, first of all, they test it for contamination to make sure that no one else's DNA somehow fell into the little pipette.
Yeah.
Make sure that it's not contaminated, number one. And then number two, they make sure that it does not have the marker from the HT side of my family.
Wow.
And also they tested for the actual HD, you know, gene on that side. And
mm-hmm.
so if that little cell passes every one of those tests, then in that case they say that embryo is okay to transfer into the female. That one is considered HD free.
Oh my
so
goodness.
It's pretty incredible, yeah.
Yeah.
And
so the stage that the egg is actually implanted, it's not considered a live human being yet, right? It's just a cell?
It is actually just a cell. Well, that's correct.
Right.
I mean,
okay.
I guess it would suppose who you talk to. But,
okay, yep, there's the controversy there. But
it's a group of stem cells that will potentially become a human being.
Right.
It does not have a heartbeat. It has not been transferred into a human female. It's extremely early stem cells.
It's just
still
a group of stem cells, not yet ready to become a person.
It is a group of stem cells, that's right.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, so then once they, yeah, it sure is, and it's really wonderful that they are able to do this, because then, you know, you end up with this number of healthy, you know, embryos, stem cells, that they can say, okay, these certain ones are healthy and can be transferred. And
mm-hmm.
in my case, we ended up with 3 healthy and transferred all of those in, and I ended up pregnant with twins, which is...
Oh, wow. Because they've been transferred in doesn't mean that they will take. Some will not take.
That's correct.
With your 3 you ended up with twins with 2, and 1 didn't take.
That's correct.
Oh, that's so exciting. Well, let me just break in here for a second. It's already 15 minutes through the show. You're listening to Help for HD. This is Melissa, your host, and our incredible special guest today is Stacey Brookhiser from www.hdfreewithpgd.com. Our call-in numbers are 310-982-4227 and 877-497-4103. We are recording live, but you may listen again right after the end of the show. Just give it about half an hour to an hour to propagate through the website. I just have a couple announcements, and then we'll continue with our interview with Stacey. We have upcoming shows July 5th, Giovanni Strifito with CREST E Part 3 study. July 11th, Doug Lowell, Find a Cure panel. July 18th, 2 Care Part 1 HSV study. August 1, Diana Rose's CREST E Part 3. August 22nd, 2 Care Part 2. We have a bunch of HSG study programs that are they're going to be very informative about all the HD studies that are going on. August 29, Diana Dunkelberger, The Immune System and the Role of Cannabinoid Receptors in Pathogenesis of Huntington's Disease. We have a new group on Facebook called Help for HD, Help HSG Awareness. And we welcome your input. Please go to Facebook and join that group. It's open. We need your input and your help with the studies for Huntington's. And also I wanted to announce The Adventures of the Muffin Kids book series. This might be fun for your family, Stacey. And this is an amazing project. It's a project that comes from deshalmar.org. Clarice Miller is just an amazing mom herself, and she and her mate, her partner, have been working diligently to help others. They have several projects, and I can't name them all, but the one that I wanted to mention today, especially today with Stacey here, is The Adventures of the Muffin Kids. Sorry, it's going to be coming soon. I'm not sure if they've published yet, but it's a group of books or a series of books inspired by the dreams of our children, and pretty exciting stuff. And then another few projects DeShalmar is promoting and sponsoring. We help vets.org, locksdown.com. We have a face.org, our awesome friend James Valvano, the International Huntington's Disease Film Project, the Faceless Faces of Huntington's Disease. I'm no longer a faceless face. We are looking for help with that, financial and the community input. So that's what's going on. And now we can continue with our awesome interview with Stacey. And we're talking about the procedure, that PGD procedure And I kind of interrupted you, and I'm sorry I had to do that, but let's pick up where we left off about the process and how we get through that. Stacy, you were talking about fertilizing the eggs and implanting the eggs, and then what happens after that?
Yes, well, then there's a lot of waiting. Waiting in hopes that they're actually going to implant and grow. And then, you know, several days later, it's a pregnancy test. And beyond that, the only difference between a PGD pregnancy, well, an IVF pregnancy, really, IVF PGD together, and a normal pregnancy is that for the first trimester, you have to take hormones, injections, in order to support the pregnancy. So that's, but I mean, by that point, you know, you're just happy to be pregnant. So to do anything about
it. So are you needing to, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I think that after that process as well, let's not forget about those other embryos that were considered to be gene positive or to, to be not healthy.
What happens with that?
Yeah, it's wonderful if people who consider PGD will donate those embryos to Huntington's research, because our researchers are very excited anytime they can get their hands on, you know, stem cells, and especially, you know, embryos that were a part of the PGD process. There's information on my website, and people can email me directly for information on where and who they can donate those to, in order to make sure they end up in the hands of an HD researcher.
Great. Now, do they freeze these cells, or how do they
transport them? Yeah. My doctor actually offered to freeze them for free for me, to help me out with that. So I didn't have to pay for it, but I think it depends on, you know, your situation with your doctor. But he was able to freeze them and help me to transfer them to the, you know, the center that I donated them to. So that, you know, they would end up in the hands of HD researchers. So then they're frozen until they get to the researchers, and then they do their magic.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, now, what if a person doesn't want to know if they're positive?
Yeah, that would be a technique called non-disclosing PGD. It's the same, it's the same process, but in that experience, the doctor would not reveal to the patient how many embryos were, you know, were retrieved, how many embryos were tested, how many embryos were ended up being able to transfer. I think that every doctor does it differently, but the general idea is that if the patient is not told how many embryos were removed, or I'm sorry, how many eggs were removed, and then how many embryos were healthy, then they won't know whether there were any that were positive for Huntington's.
And that's the patient's choice, right?
That's right. That's exactly right.
And they don't want to know.
It may be a little more difficult to find a doctor that's willing to do non-disclosed. But once you are able to find a doctor that can do that, it is a way to ensure that you are only transferred with healthy embryos and not any that have Huntington's.
So then what, some of the obstacles could be maybe having to do the procedure again if it doesn't take the first time. What other obstacles might there be?
Right. Well, also, you know, if there are other fertility issues going on, you know, that might come in the way of it. Other obstacles could possibly be, you know, money and emotional resources. I would think that after doing it a time or two and not being successful, it would be really difficult on the couple. So those are all things that really should be considered.
Now, can this really stop HD and JHD forever?
Well, it sure has for my family. So it sort of depends. You know, if I don't assume that everyone in the world is going to choose this, just because everyone has their own right to their own decision. And so obviously this is not going to be a cure-all for everyone. But for those families that choose to do PGD, absolutely. My kids don't have the gene. They won't ever have to pass it on to their kids and their grandchildren, and none of that family line will ever have to go through any of what I'm going through right now with this. And thankfully, my family line is free of Huntington's forever.
Oh, my God. To me, that's a miracle. I just...
Absolutely.
If only I would have had that same opportunity back in the 80s. Of course, the HD gene wasn't identified yet, but anyway, oh, I'm so happy for you. And how do you feel about your girls being safe from HD?
Oh, it's such a relief. I mean, it's a daily joy just having children, but also coupled with the idea that they're not going to have to worry about, you know, how they have kids or whether they have Huntington's and all of that. It really is such a relief.
It must be a huge burden off your shoulders.
Absolutely. And I think it's the greatest gift that I could ever have given them. You know, before I was a parent, I tried to think like a parent. And that's why I chose CBD. And now that I am a parent, I'm so glad that I am, because I think that someday my girls will really respect that decision and be thankful that, my husband and I went and did CBD.
Right.
I'm going to cry.
Oh, no. Don't cry. That's okay. We cry a lot. So now you're a mom on a mission. You are talking to everybody, right?
Yeah.
And so when did you really figure out, okay, I'm going to start promoting this, do a website, this and that? How did you come to that decision?
Well, my personal experience was so successful. I felt like I was real fortunate that after one try, we were able to have twins and really fill out our family on just that one try. I felt so blessed. And I felt like, you know, I have been so fortunate in this that I really want to give back somehow. I also had all of this information and knowledge that I had gained as part of the experience that I felt like I needed to share it. And so I started by sharing that with the people in my local area, and we put together a little brochure with the information, and it turned into a website, and that turned into speaking events and, you know, speaking with you and really just trying to get the word out everywhere I can.
Okay, and your website again is www.hdfreewithpgd.com. And if people want to reach you, can they email you at stacybrook@aol.com?
Absolutely, and I hope that people will.
Mm-hmm. And please go to that website. It's really incredible information. We're going to continue to talk here for a couple more minutes until we go off the live stream. We can continue to talk after that. But so what are your suggestions about financial assistance for IVF PGD? Because it's probably expensive.
Yes, and I was just going to mention that when you're talking about my website. On my website, there's a page regarding financial assistance. And I listed the letter that I sent to my insurance company to petition for help. Some states require insurance companies to cover IVF. California does not. But I, by petitioning my insurance for it, I was able to get I think it was about 70% coverage in the end, and a great deal of it was covered. Yeah. But basically, you have to petition the insurance and speak to them in their terms, convince them that it's medically necessary that PGD happens in order to protect the kids.
Right.
And like I said, there's information on my website about that, and I hope that people will go there and read that and email me with questions.
So insurance is covering, some insurances are covering this. That is just incredible.
Yes. Now, some insurance cover in vitro. I'm not certain whether they cover the PGD part, but the in vitro process is really the more expensive of the two anyway.
Wow. Okay, well, we're going to be off the air here in 1 minute, so let me just conclude the program, the live stream of the program this evening, and I want to thank Stacy for an amazing and informative program. You're an amazing person. I'm so happy to meet you and have you on the show. You may reach Stacy at Stacy Brook. That's stacybrook@aol.com. Please visit her website at www.hdfreewithpgd.com. An amazing wealth of information there on that website. Reach me at help4hd@yahoo.com. Please don't hesitate to contact me with any questions or suggestions about content for programming. And I wish everyone a wonderful evening, and thank you for coming in to Help for HD. It's just been an amazing show. So we can go ahead and continue talking. We're going to be off live stream here in 5 seconds. Good night, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Love you all. Okay. So tell us about your speaking engagements. You've been doing some speaking.
Yeah, I sure have. I went up to Sacramento recently and spoke at their local convention. They do an annual convention, and actually they had asked me to come a few years back, and so I also spoke then. And this year, it was really fortunate because the presentation was videoed. And on my website, there's a link to that video on the very first page, on the home page. And
okay.
Click on it. It will take you to Vimeo.com. And the entire 45-minute presentation is on there. And I know that's a long time. But
wow.
if for people who are seriously considering PGD, that would give them a lot more detailed information.
I'll link that to my blog because I put your show page on my blog, and I do that every week. But that way I can link the video to it, which would be really helpful. Thank you
that's
for telling
great.
Us about that.
And
have you thought about doing maybe some speaking engagements at some of the support groups around?
Yeah, I sure would love to. I basically will go anywhere I'm asked to go. I try to, just get the information out in any way possible. A few years back, I even did an email campaign where I sent brochures about the PGD information, including my website, to all of the Centers of Excellence all over America, and I was just really hoping to say, hey, knock on their door. Here's some information. If you have couples with questions, direct them to me because I've been through this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm hoping that with those types of, campaigns to get the information out there, hopefully this information will reach people so they will understand that this is a good option to consider.
Right. Well, I was very intrigued when I saw you come onto the Facebook scene, the HD community on Facebook, and that's what prompted me to contact you was when you put your information on Facebook. So that's always a good one for the HD community because we're all kind of stuck in the house sometimes and can't get out. So that's what we do is get on Facebook.
Yeah, me too.
How about any plans on writing books or anything like that?
No, I haven't yet explored that opportunity, actually. I did keep a detailed journal of my experience during my testing and during the PGD process. And I reference that quite a lot when I need to. But really, I'm just hoping my kids might read it when they're adults and they'll understand what this is all about. And I we'll have to see if there are any opportunities in the future to get things done on paper because it's been quite an amazing process, not only PGD, but the testing procedure. Going through that and more importantly, recovering from that and living a healthy, positive, optimistic life as someone who is gene positive and non-symptomatic and hopefully going to be that way for another 20, 30 years. It's a process to get there because it took me a few years to really get back to a place where I could somewhat learn how to control that and still enjoy my life.
Right. Well, when we receive really bad news, it imprints on our brain. So, having something to be so hopeful about is only going to be good, positive.
Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely. And actually, a lot of the presentation I gave in Sacramento, it talks about my experience with testing. So that's also sort of a reference for people, even if they're not considering PGD, if they're considering testing, they might think about, listening to that because it's quite a process just considering whether to test and, how to get through that in a healthy way and how to recover from that too.
Right. Takes a while, doesn't it, to get to work through all that. And
it does.
I've experienced that with my son. He's still kind of going through it. He was diagnosed in 2008, but same CAG repeat number, but he has other genetic conditions that have put him into symptoms at an earlier age, like a JHD symptom situation. So, you know, that's kind of what we're dealing with. But everybody kind of has a different story, but similar in some ways. Would you consider maybe doing an international film with us?
Sure, I'll help out however I can.
I really feel that this story needs to be told, and I feel strongly about that. So I'm here to cheer you along.
Thank you. And I so appreciate your giving light to this, because PGD is really something that is wonderful and hopeful in the midst of all of this sort of confusing and difficult life of a Huntington's family. PGD is really a bright, shining ray of hope that my own mother, who's experiencing symptoms right now, she loves seeing my kids, and, you know, she loves all of her grandkids, but she really loved when we were going through the process and asking about it and talking about it and understanding that she was part of keeping them healthy and helping them to be, you know, born into healthy bodies. And it really is a wonderful ray of hope in this difficult situation we're in.
And I would just suggest that for those who are sitting on the fence or maybe against this kind of a procedure, they should probably maybe do some more research about it, because, I mean, you know, we talked about the cost being a little up there, but, you know, what is the cost to our children if we pass this gene to them, you know?
Absolutely. And research can only help make decisions more clear.
Right.
When we started out, we considered, well, we might have to pay for the entire thing. And by fighting my insurance and you know, clinging to them and doing everything I could to bug them until they would listen to me, I was able to get the majority of it covered. And, you know, like you're saying, people who are opposed to this, you know, it's always smart to do more research and to really look into the process, because the more you look into this, I think the more understanding you can be of people choosing it,
right.
Especially in a religious sense, because you know, I'm a Christian, and I was searching the Bible, and that was part of my research. And I praying about it and searching the Bible, I couldn't find anything that said that this was wrong in that respect. And
I think it has to do with, you know, the definition of a life. You know, when does a life begin? And to me, a life begins when an embryo is developed and the heart starts and the brain is starting. And, you know, if you're dealing with a cluster of stem cells, it's kind of not the same thing. At that point, those cells may or may not develop into an embryo, right? So,
yes, I personally agree with you, but I do understand, too, that everyone has their own opinion on that.
We have to respect that.
Yeah, and it's really, no one can prove it either way. So do you really want to base a decision that will affect your children's whole future and the future of your grandchildren based on something that is not proven? I sure don't. You know, I think it's more important to consider what the children may have to go through.
Weigh the pros and cons, right? And the cons outweigh the... for not doing it, right?
Right.
Yeah, I'm so happy that you came on the show today. And is there anything that you can think of that we didn't cover?
No, I think that we really covered everything. And any other questions, you know, people can go to my website or email me directly.
Right. And then, again, www.hdfreewithpgd.com. And it's P, Paul, G, good, D, dog. .com and or email you at stacybrook@aol.com. So that's awesome. And I think if we're done with our little outline here, I just want to tell you thank you so much for coming on the show today and for sharing your experience and your life with us. And I'm so proud of you.
Thank you, Melissa. And I sure appreciate what you do for HD families as well.
Thank you. You have a great week and hope the children are well and healthy for a lifetime.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Take care.
Okay. God bless. Bye-bye.